I truly love that parasha because to me it gives us all the directions of how to live a life, a holy life, according to Yehovah's word. And so today I'm going to bombard you with scripture. And as you've noticed in the newsletter, they're all there, quite a lot. But I want you to use these scriptures to help you to live a life holy unto Yah. And so that's what my message will be on today. So let us pray. Abba Father, we pray that you'll open our eyes so that we can see the wondrous things from your Torah this day. And may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Yehovah, because you are my rock and my redeemer. I ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. So, what I've titled my message is Kedushim, Fulfilling Torah Commands of Yah. Kedushim speaks of being holy as Yah is holy. And this isn't an easy feat. Because we are human. We're born sinners, we're full of sin, and no matter how often we repent, we will still sin. So what I'm endeavouring to do today is to give you scriptures that will help you in your spiritual walk in how to recognise if you are walking in the ways of man or in the ways of Yeshua and Yehovah. So we'll start off with the scripture from Vayikra, please, if we can go to Vayikra 19, verse 18. It says, "Don't take vengeance on or bear a grudge against any one of your people. Rather, love your neighbour as yourself. I am Yehovah." One of my favourite books, Yaakov, we learn in James 2 and verse 8, "If you truly attain the goal of Kingdom Torah in conformity with the passage that says, love your neighbour as yourself, you are doing well." And then in Yochanan, or John chapter 15 verse 12, Yochanan says, "This is my command," or Yeshua says, "This is my command, that you keep on loving each other just as I have loved you." And in the next slide, we go to Yochanan. And Yochanan Aleph 1 John 2, 9 to 11 says, "Anyone who claims to be in this light while hating his brother is still in the dark. The person who keeps loving his brother remains in the light, and there is nothing in him that could make him trip. But the person who hates his brother is in the dark. Yes, he is walking in the dark and doesn't know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." So I want to break this passage down. One, he's in the darkness. This means a spiritual darkness. It may seem like dark outside at the moment, but some people walk around continually in spiritual darkness. And walking in the dark is walking literally in spiritual darkness. He doesn't know where he is going. In other words, he has no idea where he is going spiritually. And the darkness has blinded his eyes. In other words, he has no idea that he is even in spiritual darkness, so therefore doesn't know how to come out of it. Can we go to the next slide, please? This whole message I'm bringing you is based on scripture. So I praise Yah. That's what I spent, where I spend most of my life, and always, is reading scripture. And I just want to allow you to have some idea of where you can go to learn how to walk holy as a holy people, as Yah is holy. So in Yochanan Aleph, or 1 John 3:11, it says, "For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that you should love each other." And in 1 Timothy 1:5, "The purpose of this is to promote love from a clean heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere trust." So let us, what I want to do now is to look at the personification of Yeshua and key phrases in how we are to walk in his likeness. So that's on this slide here for you. One of the titles of Yeshua and the other are the key phrases. So Yeshua is the Holy One and he walks in the light. He is the Word of life. He is our advocate. He's the righteous one. He is our propitiation. He is the son of Yehovah. And Yehovah is light. Therefore, he is light. And he is the savior of the world. And we look at the key phrases of how we are to live like Yeshua. That means we are to walk in the light. And Yeshua will cleanse us from all sin. But this can only happen through confession. Then, after we've confessed our sin, we have to keep his mitzvot or his commandments. And the most important thing is love not the world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. And my sister's taking her grandson to a movie today that I wouldn't even take myself to, let alone take a 12-year-old child. Can we go back to that slide, please? The words of Yah are meant to abide in us or to abide in you. So when you've got those words planted in your mind, then you can live as Yah intended you to live. So we have to be born of Yah and we have to love one another. And that's not easy. You know, it doesn't matter what people do to us. We still have to love them. Yehovah instructs us in Vayikra 19:18 to love your neighbour as yourself. But who is my neighbour? A neighbour, according to Nelson's dictionary, is a friend, a close associate, or a person who lives nearby, someone we come in contact with in our daily life. Yeshua compared it even further as to strangers in the parable of the Good Samaritan, where he introduced the form of agape love. Agape is not just that it is unconditional love, but it's primarily a love of the will rather than a love of the emotions. People say that they've fallen out of love with their spouse. What they've actually done is they've chosen out of their will not to love their spouse anymore. It's got nothing to do with agape love. Agape love is, the sexual love. It's got everything to do with agape love. We have to love so much that we choose not to fall out of love with our partners, with our spouses. Can we go to the next slide, please? In Yochanan 3:16, which you all know very well, for Yehovah so loved the world that he gave his only and unique Son, so that everyone who trusts in him may have eternal life instead of being utterly destroyed. And from our readings today from Romans 5:8, it says, but Yehovah demonstrates his own love for us, that the Messiah died on our behalf while we were still sinners. He chose us before we chose him. And that's part of my prayer life every day in my thanksgiving part of my prayer life, because I pray according to Acts, which is adoration, confession, thanksgiving and supplication. And part of my thanksgiving is to thank Yah for choosing me and loving me first before I chose him. Because he has his hand on us. He chooses us and puts his hand on us before we can accept him. You know, why is it that my twin sister, born of the same parents at the same time, 15 minutes earlier, did not have that same impetus to be able to seek Yah as I have and still doesn't. Only Yah knows whose head he's going to put his hand upon, whose life he's going to choose that he wants for him. So it's Yah who chooses us before we can choose him. Agape love conveys Yehovah's will to his children about their attitude towards one another. Love for one another was a proof to the world of the true followers of Yeshua. We have to love regardless. We don't have to like. We don't have to like things they say, things they do. We don't have to like them. But we do have to love them. You know, we don't have to like their actions. We don't have to like their mannerisms. We don't have to like what they watch on TV. But we have to love them. And there's different things. That's what agape love is about. Can we go to the next slide, please? In Yochanan 13 and verse 35, it says, "Everyone will know that you are my Talmudim by the fact that you have love for each other." Now, the Messianic community of Philadelphia, this is a very prophetic name. Philadelphia is a very prophetic name for a town or for a congregation. Because Philadelphia actually means brotherly love, or philio, brotherly love, in the Greek. And in the next slide, in Yochanan 15 and verse 12, Yeshua said, "This is my command, that you keep on loving each other just as I have loved you." And Yochanan repeats that in Revelation 3:8. "I know what you are doing. Look, I have put in front of you an open door that no one can shut it. I know that you have but little power, yet you have obeyed my message and have not disowned me." That's Yeshua speaking to Yochanan. In the book of Revelation, Yochanan describes the Messianic community of Philadelphia as the faithful community, and the community that stood at the gateway of a great opportunity. And this is how I would love this community to be known and to be recognized by Yah. Yeshua said to that community in verse 8, "I have put in front of you an open door and no one can shut it." We want the door of opportunity forever open in our lives and in the lives of this congregation. But to do that, we must show forgiveness to the members within the community. It's really important that you see yourself as a family, as a community, and that you always share that love and use, and which moves us to my next step of forgiveness. Not everyone is perfect, but we have to forgive. In the next slide, please. Matat Yahu 18:21 says, "Then Kepha came up and said to him, 'Rabbi, how often can my brother sin against me? But I have to forgive him. As many as seven times?' 'No, not seven times,' answered Yeshua. 70 times seven." We have to always forgive, in other words. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, "Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgive each other, just as in the Messiah Yehovah has also forgiven you." And Matat Yahu 6:14, "For if you forgive others of their offences, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their offences, your heavenly Father will not forgive yours." We don't have a choice, really, do we? If we want to be forgiven by Yah, we have to forgive others. And in the next slide, in Colossians 3:12-13, "Therefore, as Yehovah's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Clothe yourselves with feelings of compassion and with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another. If anyone has a complaint against someone else, forgive him. Indeed, just as Yeshua has forgiven you, so you must forgive. Forgiveness brings us to the subject of restoration. We are commanded to restore our brother or sister once he has repented and sought forgiveness. Can we go to the next slide, please? In Galatians 6 and verse 1, it says, "Brothers, suppose someone is caught doing something wrong. You who have the spirit of Ruach should set him right, but in a spirit of humility. You don't lord it over them. You must do it in humility, keeping an eye on yourselves so that you won't be tempted too." And my favourite book and chapter, Yaakov James 5, 19 and 20. "My brothers, if one of you wanders from the truth and someone causes him to return, you should know that whoever turns a sinner from his wandering path will save him from death and cover many sins." I want to go to the next two slides, and I'm just giving you a rundown. I haven't put all these scriptures in the booklet, in the newsletter. Oh, by the way, Victoria, hi, I've heard you're now online from Doha. Bless you. We are to welcome one another, from Romans 15:7. We are to edify another, Romans 14:19. We are to serve one another, Galatians 5:13. And this means everyone. This is what Malachi and I love to do. We love to serve you. We don't want to ever or have you feel that we lord it over you, because we are all equal in this community. And it is our joy to serve you. We are to bear one another's burdens. And that includes letting us know when you need prayer, because or things aren't going right for you. Because if you don't tell us, we can't pray. And that is how we can bear each other's burdens. We are to be forgiving one another, in Ephesians 4:32. We are to be submitting to one another, Ephesians 5:21. We are to exhort one another, in Messianic Jews 3:12-13. We are to consider one another, Messianic Jews 10:24-25. We are to be hospitable to one another, in Kepha Aleph or 1 Peter 4:8-10. And I think we'll see an example of that tomorrow. And we are to honour one another, in Romans 12 and verse 10. Once we move into Torah observance and honouring the Shabbat, people whom we thought were true friends in Mashiach suddenly turn against us and become our enemies. How should we treat those once so-called friends? How many of you have lost Christian friends since you've been coming to this congregation? It's true, it happens. They think you're going under the law. They tell you that you're doing the wrong thing. But the problem is that if they truly love Yah as they say they do, if they truly follow Yeshua as they say they do, he said, "If you love me, you'll obey my commandments." And the fourth commandment is to observe the Sabbath. So we are doing the right thing, but they put us down for doing the right thing. And they don't want to hear anything else. They do become our enemies in a sort of fashion. So we go to slide 14, please. In Matityahu 5 and verse 44. "But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you." It's probably not something that I usually say, but my former husband, the father of the five children, we were married for 18 years. And I was persecuted by him morning, noon and night for those 18 years. But I would love him and I would pray for him daily. I would ask Yah to bless him daily. We never ended up friends. That's all I wanted. Even if we could be friends. He married me to get custody of his three daughters because his former wife wouldn't let him have them. That was fine. We married. We had two sons. He had his three daughters. When his youngest daughter got married 18 years later, he gave me 2 weeks to leave and wouldn't let me have my son. Problem is, I forgave. I forgave. And I'm not saying I'm anything wonderful, but I lived by Yah's word. We were able to spend 4 days together last weekend, and not a cross word, not a thing was mentioned about the past. We just welcomed each other as if we were friends and left it at that. And we had dinner we were with the family, with the children. He's the patriarch of the whole lot that were there. That we were just there in all in one accord. You can do it. You don't have to put a barrier up. It's a choice. He chose not to love me, fine. I'm blessed. I've got Malachi. Absolutely blessed out of my socks. But no one could replace Malachi in my life. But this man is the father of my children. And I still have to treat him with respect. And have never said one word to one of those children of what happened within that relationship. You see, you don't put a child against its parent ever. What he said, I don't know, I don't care. What he thinks about me is none of my business. But the point is that we have to prove, even though he was an enemy, I have to treat him as a friend. And it is possible. Mind you, I've had 30 years of practice since we've been over, 30 years of practice since that we've been apart. But Yah is good. As I said, we were supposed to be in the cabin next to him and Yah shifted that anyway. He is amazing. So in Romans 12 and verse 20. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap fiery coals of shame on his head. Now this is Shaul speaking. Where does he get that from? Well, let's go to Proverbs, which I read every single day. The proverb of the day is the fourth of the month, I read proverb number 4. Sixth of the month, I read proverb number 6. And to me, I've done this, always read this since I was a child. And to me, this has helped me live my life before I even got into churches or anything to go to Bible college. So Proverbs 25, 21 to 22. If someone hates you, is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. You will heap fiery coals of shame on his head, and Yehovah will reward you. They got it from Proverbs. They had Proverbs. They were written by Solomon. They were part of the Tanakh. And that's how you'll find scriptures in the Ketuvah HaShelekim lining up virtually word for word because they're quoting the Tanakh. We also need to learn how to recognize a true believer so that we won't be hurt. Because we can take offense to people who say they're believers but they're really not. In slide 15, Yochanan Aleph, 1 John 4, 20-21. If anyone says, I love Yehovah, and hates his brother, he is a liar. If a person does not love his brother whom he has seen, then he cannot love Yehovah whom he has not seen. Yes, this is the command we have from him. Whoever loves Yehovah must love his brother too. And in the next verse, which is Yochanan 1:5-1, everyone who believes that Yeshua is the Messiah has Yehovah as his father, and everyone who loves a father loves his offspring too. And of course, this is easier said than done. It takes a lot of practice to perfect it. Can I say, smile, even though you don't feel like it? Learn to laugh at yourself. It was a huge one for me, being an Aspie, and took many years to accomplish, as I was always an extremely serious person until Malachi came into my life. But be there for people. Contact people if they drop into your mind. If Yah drops a person into your mind, especially from the congregation, ring them up. See if they're okay. Doesn't matter who it is. Ring them if you've got their number. Do not hesitate to be there for them, to pray for them. But if it's too big for you, then contact Malachi and I. Let us know so that we can pray for them, so we can contact them as well. But you need to be real in your heart. Be courteous, and most of all, be a good communicator. Let them know that you're really there for them. The next point I want to look at is about a word that is bandied about without any true thought to what one is saying. I've always banned this word from my children and my grandchildren. This word to me holds dire consequences for those who use it and should be avoided at all costs. And the word is hate or hatred. Can we go to the next slide, please? Children are so quick to say hate, but to me, it's a non-word in our vocabulary, and they should be stopped from the first time they say it. It's banned in the household. Yochanan Aleph, 1 John 3, 14-16 says, we for our part know that we have passed from death to life because we keep loving the brothers. The person who fails to keep on loving is still under the power of death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. The way that we have come to know love is through his having laid down his life for us, or Yeshua having laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And we go further on into Yochanan Aleph in 4, verses 7 and 8. And it says, beloved friends, let us love one another, because love is from Yehovah. And everyone who loves has Yehovah as his father and knows Yehovah. Those who do not love do not know Yehovah, because Yehovah is love. And in Titus 3:3-5a, it says, for at one time we too were foolish and disobedient, deceived and enslaved by a variety of passions and pleasures. We spent our lives in evil and envy. People hated us and we hated each other. But when the kindness and love of mankind of Yehovah our deliverer was revealed, he delivered us. So I want to give you some helpful quotes now to help you with this. Excuse me, I'm going to cough. True friendship is seen through the heart and not through the eyes. Many people will walk through our lives, but few will leave footprints on our heart. Your friend is the one who knows all about you and still likes you. The best way to destroy an enemy is to make him your friend. And a friend is someone who sees through you and still enjoys the view. It was just a little bit of a side. I felt that if we can look at ourselves like that and understand that Yehovah loves us in that way. So slide 18, Proverbs 17 at 17a. A friend shows his friendship at all times. And in Proverbs 27:17, just as iron sharpens iron, a person sharpens the character of his friend. In Yochanan 15:13, we've said before, no one has greater love than a person who lays down his life for his friends. So if we've got friends, we should never, ever be talking about each other or murmuring. It's something I abhor. I've always taught my children and grandchildren, and even the children I taught in the classroom for 38 years, is that if you can't say something to someone face to face, don't say it at all. Simple as that. It's nothing worse than a gossip. In Mishlei, it usually comes back to bite you anyway. Not worth it. Mishlei Proverbs 15 and verse 4 on slide 19. A soothing tongue, is it there? A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but when it twists things, it breaks the spirit. Let me just break the spirit, this scripture down for you. A soothing tongue is something that brings, that is wholesome, and it brings healing. It brings healing to the body, to the mind, to the soul. When one twists the truth, it's the same as perverseness or viciousness. That in turn breaks the spirit, or in other words, fractures it, which can lead to lack of self-worth that brings on mental or psychological difficulties. The best way to show that you love them is how you talk about them when they are not there. In Mishlei Proverbs 11 to 13, it says, a gossip goes around revealing secrets, but a trustworthy person keeps a confidence. And in Yaakov 3:8-9, but the tongue no one can tame, it is an unstable and evil thing, full of death-dealing poison. With it we bless Yehovah the Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the image of Yehovah. And in the next slide in Galatians 5:15, but if you go on snapping at each other and tearing each other to pieces, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. And Colossians 3:9, never lie to one another, because you have stripped away the old self with its ways. And as I said before, I've received all my learning and my instructions on life from Scripture, and I continue to do so daily. Victoria has just shared from Doha, we have lost all our Christian friends with this paradigm shift from Christianity to Torah observance. We still pray for Abba to open the eyes to their understanding too. It's wonderful. Thank you, Victoria. I just want to share a few more scriptures for you. Slide 21. Messianic Jews, Hebrews 13, verse 1. Let brotherly friendship continue. And in Kepha Aleph 1 Peter 1:22, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have a sincere love for your brothers, love each other deeply with all your heart. And in Romans 13:10 says, love does not do harm to a neighbour, therefore love is the fullness of Torah. Romans 13:8, don't owe anyone anything except to love one another. For whoever loves his fellow human being has fulfilled Torah. On the next slide, 1 Peter 2:17 says, be respectful to all, keep loving the brotherhood, fearing Yehovah, and honouring the emperor. We don't have an emperor, but we do have leadership in our country. Yah puts them in power, even if we don't want them there. We have to accept it, and we have to honour that. Kafer Aleph 1 Peter 3 and verse 8. Finally, all of you, be in one mind and feeling. Love as brothers and be compassionate and humble-minded. In Yochanan 15:17, this is what I command you. Keep loving each other. And in Yochanan 13:34, I am giving you a new command that you keep on loving each other in the same way that I have loved you. You are also to keep on loving each other. And Tehillim, Psalms 33 verse 1, oh, how good and pleasant it is for brothers to live in harmony. And in Romans 12 and verse 10, love each other devotedly and with brotherly love. Set examples for each other in showing respect. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, concerning love for brothers, we do not need to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by Yehovah to love each other. In the Messianic community, there should be no cliques and definitely no divisions. We are all different and at different levels in our Messianic walk. Some hold on to rabbinic tradition, others to Christian beliefs and teachings. Regardless of where you're at or others are at in their walk, we need to let our opinions go. Don't take offence, and don't allow the Ruach to work in work in everyone's heart. In saying that, it does not allow holding on to the past, or give permission to bring false teachings to others within the community. We have to accept everyone as they are, and make sure that we encourage people to be able to have their walk as the leadership within the community wants and needs. Because we're trying to bring to you a pure scripture, something that is not tied to tradition, whether it be rabbinic or Christianity, but according to Yehovah's word. And this is why I preach scripture and not traditional thinking. Because that is what we have to let go of. But that doesn't mean we love anyone less if that's the way they want to run their lives. There are things that they do that is very nice in rabbinic tradition, like Friday night dinners. But if you're going to have a Friday night dinner, don't pray over the candles. You can light candles if you want and have candles on your table. That's not a problem. But you are never commanded. The prayer for the candles says we are commanded to light the Sabbath lights. It's not in scripture. So that's not commanded. So we've got to be careful that we follow the word and not tradition. But by all means, have your Friday night dinners, have your whatever you do. I think that's wonderful, especially when congregational members and meeting together and joining together in that way. Let me go to slide 24, please. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Nevertheless, brothers, I call on you in the name of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah to agree, all of you, in what you say, and not let yourselves remain split into factions, but be restored by having a common mind and a common purpose. And further down, 1 Corinthians 12, 25 to 26. So that there'll be no disagreements within the body, but rather all parts will be equally concerned for all others. Thus, if one part suffers, all other parts suffer with it. And if one part is honoured, all the parts share its happiness. As I said, there should be no cliques within the community. We should be reaching out to people within the community as well as outside of it. It should actually be the responsibility of all to hold to and respect the teachings and instructions of the leadership of the congregation. So in slide 25-26, don't let love be a mere outward show. Recoil from what is evil and cling to what is good. Love each other devotedly with brotherly love and set examples for each other in showing respect. Don't be lazy when hard work is needed and serve your Havah with spiritual fervour. Rejoice in your hope, be patient in your troubles and continue steadfastly in prayer. Share what you have with your Havah's people and practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless them, don't curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be sensitive to each other's needs and don't think yourself better than others, but make humble people your friends. Don't be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but try to do what everyone regards as good. If possible, and to the extent that it depends on you, live in peace with all people. Never seek revenge, my friends. Instead, leave that to Yehovah's anger. For in the Tanakh it is written, Yehovah says, vengeance is my responsibility. I will repay. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap fiery coals of shame on his head. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. Yochanan gives us four spiritual instructions. And in slide 27, please. Yochanan Aleph, 1 John 3, 23 to 24. This is my command, that we are to trust in the person and the power of his son Yeshua the Messiah, and to keep loving one another just as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands remain united with him and he with them. Here is how we know that he remains united with us, by the Ruach he gave us. So the first thing he says, the first mitzvot, is to trust in the person and power of Yehovah's son, Yeshua the Messiah. That's the most important thing to do. The second mitzvot is to keep loving one another. Then third, those who remain, who obey his commands, remain united with him, and he remains united with them. This also includes prayer, fellowship within the body of Yeshua. And fourthly, confirmation that Yeshua remains united with us is the Ruach whom he gave us through our immersions is within us at all times. Now go to slide 28, please. Yochanan Aleph, 1 John 4, 11 to 12 says, beloved friends, if this is how Yehovah loved us, we likewise ought to love one another. No one has ever seen Yehovah. If we love one another, Yehovah remains united with us, and our love for him has been brought to its goal in us. The remembrance service is most important to come to with reverence and with a pure heart. So if we can go to slide 29, please, before I finish. Matityahu 5, 22 to 24 says, but I tell you that anyone who nurses anger against his brother will be subject to judgment. That whosoever calls his brother, you good for nothing, will be brought before the Sanhedrin. That whoever says fool incurs the penalty of burning in the fire of Gehinnom. So you are offering your gift at the temple altar, and you remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift where it is by the altar, go make peace with your brother, then come back and offer your gift. I'm not saying this from my own perspective. There are scriptural examples of people who understood friendship and that we can look towards for our own walk. We know that Abraham was called the friend of Jehovah. Jehovah spoke to Moshe face to face as a friend. And David and Jonathan, or Yochanan, made a covenant together. And David kept that by looking after Yochanan's son till the day he died. To be set apart and a holy people, we must be prepared to be tested by our fruit, which leads us to the fruit of the Spirit. In the last slide, in Galatians 5, 22 to 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, self-control. Nothing in the Torah stands against such things. And as we've learned today, love is something we give. Joy is something we share together, which we'll all be doing tomorrow. Can't wait. Peace is not just from within our own spirit. We all want it in our life every day. Patience, we have to be forgiving to one another. We have to be patient to wait for people to get to the level that we are at. Everyone takes a different time. We need patience. Kindness, this is your approach to people. Goodness is the good works you do towards others out of love. Faithfulness is something we share together as a body of believers. Humility is your meekness, not to be confused with timidity. Two different things, humility and timidity. And self-control, the way you act or even react towards each other's. So let me finish with this last scripture from Kafir Bait, or 2 Peter 1, 5-8. For this reason, try your hardest to furnish your faith with goodness, and goodness with knowledge. Knowledge with self-control, and self-control with perseverance. Perseverance with righteousness, righteousness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if you have these qualities in abundance, they keep you from being barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of Yehovah Yeshua, the Messiah. So I hope these scriptures have been of help to you. Take them home, relook at them. They're in your newsletter for you. And if anyone has any questions, Rocky. People that are listening on live stream want to hear as well. Just grab the mic.
Yes, the question is, we had to love one another, but I think, how are we going to submit one another? Can you give us an example, please?
Right. It means that we don't take offence to what other people do, right? So by submitting to them, we allow them to have their say. Even if we don't agree with it, we don't let it take offence to ourselves. And then, because they're not ready, they might not be ready for what you want to say, to receive it, so we have to just let it go. That's what it means by submitting to. It's to let it go and not have an offense against it.
Yes.
Does that help?
Yeah, because this is the part where when we want to grow a bit more in love, suddenly we start to have a kind of friction because we don't understand what submit to one another means.
It's different to a submission of a wife to a husband. Okay, it's a different type of submission. As a husband and wife, I have to submit to my husband. He is the ruler. He reads my messages before I produce them and read them out, and he goes through all the scriptures because he's my head. So Sean wouldn't need that because Vanessa isn't his head. He's the head of the house. The male is the head of the family. So a wife has to submit to her husband. But under no condition should she submit if it goes against Yah's word. She can submit to anything that was within his word, but not to anything that goes beyond his word or that is not in his word. So we can't make her do things that she doesn't want to do, because I know of men who want their wives to prostitute themselves so they can get money and this sort of stuff. Mm. That's not in Yah's word. That's against Yah's word. So you don't submit to that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Put it against your chin.
Just when you were talking about light, lighting a candle.
Yeah.
When do you light the menorah?
You don't. It's lit in the temple. That's why it's never lit here. This isn't the temple. Now, for Shabbat dinners, in traditional Jewish way, and I was raised up in a Jewish home, you light the candles and you say a prayer, and the prayer includes, according to the mitzvot, that we have to light the candles on the Sabbath. But there's nothing in Torah that tells us to do that. So I don't mind if you have candles, but just don't pray a prayer that's not in the Torah. I don't mind if you have your dinners. I think it's lovely that you have your dinners.
Tamar, hate and anger are two different things.
Oh, definitely.
So for me, I get annoyed and angry, but then passes. So hate is, can you explain? Hate is something like...
Put it against your chin.
It's really in deep that you dislike that person or you can't stand that kind of hate we're talking about, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
But you can dislike. To me, you don't use the word.
Because
it's the same as murdering someone. Therefore, you know, it's a death sentence. You don't allow children to use that word.
No.
Because it's too strong and they've got no idea what it really means.
Mm.
You can dislike something, but you don't have to hate it.
Yeah.
Okay? I can love you, but I don't like your actions.
Mm.
I can love you, but I don't like the way you're showing disrespect to me.
Mm.
Or whatever you can say to children or to grandchildren.
Mm.
But, you know, never hate.
Yeah.
Never, ever hate.
The scripture talks about that hatred that is basically...
It's a deep down thing. Mm. That is the same as murder.
Yeah, okay.
It's aligned with murder in scripture. Mm. And if you murder, you've got to be killed yourself.
Yeah.
So don't hate.
So I'm clear on that part.
Put it against your chin.
But God said He said that, you know, He hates evil. So we should hate evil.
Yes, but the point is that we don't... You see, telling someone you hate someone... is totally different to hating evil.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the things you see on TV, a lot of the things you see on the movies today are completely evil.
Yeah.
And yes, I hate them. Mm. But it's not a person. It's what they're trying to bring out to the public to down to dumb down their brains, to accustom them to all of this horrible evil stuff, so that when the global one world government comes in, we'll accept it. Right? And that's what they're doing in movies and on TV and all that sort of stuff. They're bringing what we call rubbish and evil stuff in that, to me, is completely abhorrent and hateful.
It's called conditioning.
Of course it is. Yeah. And that's exactly what they're doing. It's like, you know, you want to cook a frog. Yeah. Put it in cold water and turn up the heat. That's what they do to us.
What do you do when, okay, someone has maybe in your eyes has destroyed your life?
Love and them.
Yes, but this is where I want to come. Okay, someone's betrayed you to the point of destroying your marriage.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, in my situation, we're now living apart. But what do you do when you can't seem to, I mean, I do my best to get along, but to get those feelings, I just can't find the feelings that matches up with what the love is supposed to be. It's, so I get very confused and I get very condemned in my mind that I'm the one, if I hate my brother, it almost comes to a point where I don't know what
don't
I'm feeling
really
anymore.
Hate. You don't want to kill him, do you?
Sometimes I did. Yes, I did. I'm sorry. I can't lie. I mean, and I confess, I even called him a fool once. You know, there's things I said which I regret now. I realise that they're dangerous things to do.
But it takes time. You're very raw. This is only very new for you. And so it takes time. My former husband and I have been separated over 32 years. So the first few were really, really hard. I would get to sick to vomiting just to see him. You know, when we were first separated. Because, I mean, I've got broken thumbs and I've been choked and you name it. But the point was that you get past it. When you spend more time in Yah teaches you. Yah gives you the grace to love.
Mine has settled down a lot because it's been 10 years since the original
problem happened.
I am getting better and better, but every now and then I tend to, I don't know if I'm falling into fear or it's hate.
It's Hasatan attacking. It's Hasatan attacking you. So you should get behind me, Hasatan.
Mm-hmm.
Go in the name of Yeshua.
Okay.
No weapon formed against me will prosper.
Mm.
You know, you start quoting scripture. That's why I give you scripture. Because you just, when things like that happen, all you can do is quote scripture. And you get those thoughts out of your own mind and start blessing him.
Mm.
That is the key. Bless those that curse you.
I did that. And God gave me...
Now you've got to keep doing it, darling.
I did. Well, I was going to say, I did do that. I asked God to bless
him. But you've got
to
keep doing it. Yeah. Daily.
And he sent him up to...
Right.
He got the job he wanted miles
good.
Away.
So, but that's good. Then he's out of your system for a while. Okay, yeah. So you've got to look at it. But the fact that Yah sent him up to Mount Isa...
But when you've got to keep on seeing someone, I mean, he'll come back and forth for the children all the time. So it's so hard to know that level of forgiveness and
it's just
restoration
and
where you
forget.
Stop and start.
You've got
you can't
to
forget. It doesn't always work that way. You can't. How can you?
You can. You can let it go.
You can let it go, but you cannot always forget it. Because otherwise, you just put yourself in the same hurt again next time.
No, you're holding on to it.
But you can't forget it. It does. You don't forget it.
Well, I don't forget being choked, and I don't forget lots of things. But I don't think about those things anymore. Right? Mm. And when I'm with him, it doesn't come back. I just give him a peck on the cheek and said, hi, how are you? Mm. I hope you're feeling okay. He's had a couple of strokes and he's had cancer. You know,
yeah.
I just forget all that he did
me,
to me.
I get those thoughts coming back.
Him as though it never happened.
Yeah.
That's all. You've got to train yourself. And mind you, I've been doing it for 30-odd years. It wasn't easy to start with. But it does get better. He is the father of your children. You've got to be careful that you never say anything against about him, against him to the children. You've got to treat him with respect and in front of the children. Otherwise, you're not showing Yah's love. It can be done. I'm walking proof.
Okay,
it
thank
just
you.
Takes time, darling.
Okay, thank you.
Doesn't happen overnight, believe you me. Okay, let's get to the remembrance service.